return. Let's try again. Book of Revelation, part 46, chapter 16, verses 17 to the end of the chapter, verse 21, plus. And you know what plus means? Plus means that this is a short teaching, and rather than letting you get on with your lives, I'll do something else at the end to fill in the time. And in this case, it happens to be thoughts on evangelism. And the reason for that is because I've had some thoughts on evangelism. You know, the end is nigher now than it was 100, 200, 2,000 years ago. And as deception increases, and as it was mentioned a moment ago, the world's going mad. Are we doing it right? Is there anything else we need to consider as we strive, perhaps in vain, to persuade the deceived and the lost to come to the Lord? So just thoughts in no particular order. And while we're here, we're in the middle section of Revelation, towards the end of it, and after this morning we'll be 16 chapters down and 6 to go. And that's almost 75% of the way through. So far so good, but as Neil would say, it's a bit like heavy, man, isn't it? So I was thinking, we finished our previous topical series almost a year ago exactly. It was the 4th of October last year. And we've been doing Revelation ever since. And what happened is we voted at that time to continue with Revelation only rather than do an alternate topical series every Sunday. But I'm wondering if it's time to take another vote, you know, because we've kind of broken Revelation's back, if I can put it that way. And so maybe we should look again. Should we just continue with Revelation only to get it finished? Should we go back to a topical teaching every other Sunday, perhaps on evangelism? Or we could even do half and half like today, whatever you choose. So have a think about it. And at the end of this message, I'll ask for a show of hands. And anyone who isn't here today, that's their bad luck that they didn't get to vote. And I would just sort of say if you're a regular attender, you know, you can vote. So how's that sound? So those are your three options. And then we'll do that at the end. So without any more of these, without any more ados, if you weren't here last Sunday week, we saw six of the seven bowl judgments completed. And I claim there's enough overlap between the seals, the trumpets and the bowls not to see them as sequential, but rather as a general description of the events that transpire leading up to the return of the Lord. And perhaps this is as good a time as any to give a really fast recap on all those judgments, and it's quite simple. It's really summarised in our title slide. It begins with the first horseman, which I believe is deception, and I believe as it's upon us now. And then from there, we end up with warfare, famine, pestilence, and other nasty stuff. Or, to put it another way, the first seal, which was the first horseman, was deception. And all the other stuff just kind of fills in the details of what's going to happen between now and the Lord's return. The final portion last time had the Lord declaring he was coming soon, and our last verse was, he gathered the kings of the earth together in the place which is called in Hebrew Harmageddon. And yes, the H should be there. It's about the only correct translation I've seen, Harmageddon in Hebrew. So I guess at some point in the horizon there'll be either World War III or some major conflict in the region of the Middle East. Time will tell. And we still have one more bowl to go, so here we go. Let's move on. Revelation chapter 16, verse 17. The seventh poured out his bowl into the air. A loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne. So perhaps that was the Lord himself, or perhaps one of the four chayot, the living creatures that surround the throne. But the voice said, it is done. It's all over, Red Rover. But then we've seen this slide twice before, haven't we? At the sixth seal, Revelation 6:16, the wicked told the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? Well, if no one, that's a rhetorical question, isn't it? If no one's able to stand, you wouldn't have to repeat this event on a number of occasions. After the seventh trumpet, Revelation 11:15, the seventh angel sounded and great voices in heaven followed, saying, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever." In these two passages, there were either four or five signs that accompanies the great conclusion, if I can put it that way. With the seals in Revelation 7:5, the angel took the censer and he filled it with the fire of the altar, then threw it on the earth. Thunders, sounds, lightnings, and an earthquake followed. There's four signs. With the seventh trumpet, God's temple, this is Revelation 11:19, God's temple that is in heaven was opened, and the ark of the Lord's covenant was seen in his temple. Lightnings, sounds, thunders, and earthquake. Four signs. But wait, there's more. There's actually five. And great hail followed. So if we now go to the seventh bowl that's been poured out, assuming it's all over again, if I can put it that way, there should be either four or five signs. Revelation 16:18, there were lightnings, sounds and thunders, and there was a great earthquake such as has not happened since there were men on the earth, so great an earthquake and so mighty. There's four signs. You say, well, what happened to the hail? Patience. We'll get to the hail. What's next? Verse 19, the great city was divided into three parts. Well, what city is the great city being referred to in the book of Revelation? Predictably, scholars are divided. Most say it's Babylon. Those who don't, most of them say it's Rome. And they say that because they say Babylon is Rome. So almost everyone says it's Babylon, and there's a good reason for that. There is good reason. Chapter 7 is about Babylon. And the last verse of chapter 7 says, verse 18, chapter 7, did I say? Meant to say 17, sorry. The woman whom you saw is the great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. So in context, that's likely to be Babylon. But I'm just not 100% convinced, you know? Not 100% convinced. You know, as we've said in the past, the Bible can be as hard or as easy as you like. We can make it so simple that kids can understand it. My opinion is that the deeper you dig into it, the simpler it becomes as you pop out the other end. But we've said that you could call the Bible a tale of two brothers, you know, Cain and Abel, Isaac and Ishmael, Esau and Jacob, the righteous line, the wicked line, the line of God's people, the line of not God's people, and so on. Or you could call it a tale of two cities, with apologies to Dickens. Babylon is the people not of God. Jerusalem is a sort of symbolic of the people that are of God. The very first action of Babylon, the Tower of Babel, was to, you know, do something in human strength apart from God, and nothing's changed. So if the great city is actually a metaphor for Babylon, which is the people not of God, how do you divide it by three? This is where I'm getting a little confused, you see. I suppose you could fracture an alliance, perhaps. That's one way. But back in chapter 11, after the sixth trumpet, Jerusalem was described as being the great city. Revelation 11:8, and their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt. Well, that could be anywhere, where also our Lord was crucified. That's Jerusalem, and that's all there is to it, right? A few verses later, verse 13, in that day there was a great earthquake and a tenth of the city fell. Now notice that there was significant damage to the city, but it wasn't destroyed, right? A tenth of it fell. It suffered damage only. Zechariah prophesies something that sounds like the results of an earthquake when the Lord returns to Jerusalem. We know this verse, Zechariah 14:4. And in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall be split in two, from east to west, making a very large valley. Sounds a bit like an earthquake. Acknowledging this is apocalyptic literature as well, it may not be literal. Half of the mountain shall move toward the north, and half of it toward the south. So here the great city isn't being destroyed, if indeed it's Jerusalem. Here's an aerial picture. You can see the Temple Mount to the west on the left-hand side of the picture. That's where the old city is. And the Mount of Olives goes due east from the middle. So if it was literal, I'm not saying it is, if the Mount of Olives was split in half like that, it would divide the great city into three sections. Make of that what you will. But let's return to chapter 16 of Revelation and see what happens next. And the cities of the nations fell. There's a couple of ways you can write the word "and" in Greek, would you believe? This is the stronger one. This is definitely, and in addition to that, but doesn't mean anything else. In addition to that, the cities of the nations fell. Who were the nations? Ethne, the Gentiles, the pagans. Babylon, if you like. So Babylon, if it's the great city, is divided into three but not harmed, and all the pagan cities are destroyed. It just doesn't work for me somehow. Now the text goes on to talk about Babylon. Babylon the Great was remembered in the sight of God to give her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath. How? By dividing it into three and destroying all the other cities? I don't know. Beats me. What else? Verse 20, then every island fled away and the mountains were not found. Well, we know the symbolism here in Hebraic thought. Mountains are kingdoms, empires. So what are islands? Islands and coastlines represent those Gentile nations a long way away. The coastlands of Tarshish and places like that. Long way away from the Middle East. And they were not found. We saw something like this at the sixth seal judgment. Revelation 6:14, the sky was removed like a scroll when it is rolled up. Every mountain and island was moved out of its place. Same sort of thing. And the mountains disappearing is a sign of God's presence in judgment. If we go to Psalm 97, verse 5, the mountains, the kingdoms of men, melt like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. And this is consistent with our Lord's return to Jerusalem in judgment. Well, what's next? Verse 21, great hailstones. About the weight of a talent came down out of the sky on the pit. By the way, a talent's about 30 kilograms. These are big puppy hailstones, right? It's about time we saw some hail. Hail, of course, was the seventh plague on Egypt. And did Pharaoh repent from it? No. No, he didn't. So did these big fat hailstones bring the wicked to their knees? Well, probably physically, yes, when they hit you on the head. But spiritually, people blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for this plague was exceedingly severe. Evidently not. But that's the point of God's judgment, isn't it? It gets worse and worse and worse, and that's actually his mercy. It's like he's shouting louder and louder and louder while mankind goes, not listening, not listening. Despite giving the wicked every opportunity to repent, they won't. And they can't say, I didn't know God was angry. Now watch this space. You know, if this happens in our generation, watch them blame climate change for 30 kilogram hailstones, you know. Watch them do that. As our American friends say, ain't no cure for stupid. So we've seen a common theme between the judgments. Despite horrible things happening and getting worse, the wicked will not repent and Christ returns to judge the world, the living and the dead. And chapter 17, as I said, talks about Babylon, but I don't want to go any further on that today. So there's not much to take away from that, really. God's judgments increase in severity as an act of mercy to the undecided. Nevertheless, the wicked will not repent. I wonder why we need another six chapters in Revelation. Here we are at the end for the third time. Time will tell it.